Positivity. Love.
Forgiveness.
Shy.
Fly.
Fly.
Radio.
Hello, 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 and good evening to all of you fly people out there. And thank you so much for tuning in tonight to Fly Conversations with your girl, Shay Dawn. And, of course, it is me, your girl, Shay Dawn. Again, thank y'all so much for tuning in with us tonight on our last show of the season. After this show, we will be taking a break until September. So I wanted to make sure that we took this last show out with some good conversation. Y'all know for the season we've been on some stuff. We've talked about quite a few different things, but one of the biggest things we've talked about is relationships. And we're definitely gonna talk about a little bit of that tonight too. So I hope y'all ready. I hope y'all, if y'all have questions, you know, if you called in, if you press number one, it will alert me and I can bring you right on in to ask whatever question it is that you would like to ask. But let's jump into what we're going to go through tonight. So let me first run this down. So tonight's guest is actually one of my panelists for the Fly Conversation Relationship Symposium. And, baby, when I tell you she was ready, okay, ready and wait to go, had some stuff to talk about, had some situations to bring up. We were ready to go. And, of course, things didn't go as planned, but guess what? It doesn't stop the show. It might delay it, but it's never stopped. So when we come back around for the Relationship Symposium, please trust and believe that tonight's guest will be on that panel. So you only get a little taste tonight. So when the panel, when the Relationship Symposium comes back around, please make sure that you're following and in the building and present so that you can get her in the raw on that day, okay? So let me introduce tonight's guest. We have a queen author of Becoming a Warrior. I'm not even going to say anymore. The title should already have you waiting and wondering what's going on with that. Also, our queen vlogger of, and I hope I'm saying it correctly. If I'm not, I'm sure you will correct me. Quoke TV. Okay, baby. Queen of a King. Y'all not ready for her. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Y'all not ready, okay? So, author, blogger, speaker, because I might as well go ahead and add that, because she might as well claim it, amen. Denisha L. Wooten. Denisha, please say hey to the people tonight.
Hello, 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 beautiful people. How is everyone on today? I am so thankful to be a part of Fly Conversations with your girl,
yes.
Shay Dawn, in the building.
Yes.
I am so excited to be here. How is you doing, girl? How you doing? How you doing?
Girl, listen, first of all, I'm fabulous. How are you?
Praise them. I am super. I am super duper.
Listen, it's been a long time coming on.
I'm having an amazing day.
Awesome. We were supposed to have done this already, like, a while ago. We should have done this already.
Yes.
We were trying to get it together
yes.
last week, and I don't know what was going on with Blog Talk last week. I don't know, but it wouldn't let me on. So that just tells me that this conversation is one that's meant to happen, and at this particular date,
yes.
at this particular time, because somebody, they
yes.
couldn't hear it last week, but they can hear it this week. So they're going to need to hear this.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's just the way I have to look at it.
You know, the enemy ain't want us to be great.
Of course not. Of course not. But I think what happens is you forget that we're born great. So it is.
Come on.
No, I'm
all
just
right,
saying.
Now you preaching. You preaching.
I'm just saying.
You preaching.
And you see how I threw a speaker all on your title, right? I'm gonna edit that. Let me
yeah.
go ahead and let you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I receive it. Listen.
Just as long as you know, because, I mean, you might as well just go and accept that one because of, yeah. I ain't no prophet. I'm just saying.
I know.
Yeah. It is.
I ain't going to run away from it. I ain't going to run away from it no more. You know, I've tried. The Lord said, no.
Well, here's my thing. What's the point of running? Like, where are you running to?
Nowhere. Oh, you're going to get to that.
I mean, well, no, you'll get to that goal a little quick, that situation you're running from before you know it, because you're just going to run right into a circle, smack dab into it.
Yeah. So, he said, I'm not opening no more doors until you accept what I'm walking you through. So, come on.
Well, and there it is.
There it is.
So now let's go ahead home and get this party started right. So, author. Becoming a warrior. Let me tell y'all, before I let her tell y'all what this book is about, the cover in itself is something.
Yeah.
Listen, I want y'all, if you have not gotten this book, I'm going to give you all that information so you can go out and get a book and follow on YouTube. We'll provide all that information at the end of the show. But I need y'all to see that cover, because I don't think I've ever seen a cover or back cover or anything of the sort where anyone was carrying their own head in their hand. That is something. So let's start right there. What was your vision when you came up with that cover?
It's really interesting, because when God first gave me Becoming a Warrior, I had no idea what the cover was going to look like, what the inside was going to look like. I just really did not know. And one day I went to go sit down with a friend of mine. We went to Waffle House. I remember it like it was yesterday. We went, sat at Waffle House, and I'm telling her about this vision for this book, and she was like, oh, my God. I said, I knew it was going to be gruesome. I said I wanted it to be gruesome and something different that I haven't seen, especially from a Christian or spiritual or inspirational perspective. So she instantly got this vision, and she was like, what if you're, like, holding your head or chopping your head off or something? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that is perfect, because – you know, for so long, my life, and of course, I know we're going to get into this, so I can't give too much of it away right now, but my life, it's been a complete turnaround from where it used to be, and I don't do the same things that I used to do. I don't live the same way that I used to live, and I felt like to be able to symbolize that in illustration, it would really grab people's attention to be like, okay, well, wait a minute.
Right.
Like, are you suicidal, or, you know, like, what's happening here? And, you know, once they really dive into it and read the back and read what it's really talking about throughout the pages, they'll see that it's me dying to my flesh and being this new, profound, energetic, strong, encouraging, faithful woman of God that I never used to be before. So that's how that came about. And it was perfect.
Awesome. I have to say, it was absolutely perfect. To be honest with you, and y'all know I like to keep it all over real, made me rethink my whole cover. Like, wait a minute, I didn't go edgy enough on my cover, because this is fire right
here. Wow.
Yeah,
wow. Praise God.
The cover itself, y'all, when I tell you the cover itself speaks volumes, because I can see that killing, because we tend to think that, and this is just my opinion, sometimes we think that death, and maybe not so much physical death, but dying to certain things and certain people is like the end of the world. And I think what we often forget is that with death, there's also birth. And it's a blessing to be reborn. It's necessary. It is necessary to be reborn.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, probably you're gonna have to be reborn a couple of times. You'll never stop that cycle.
Come on now.
Like I said, it spoke volumes to me. Like, all right, this is the head of the old Denisha. That's the head of the old one. And this one here is totally different. Y'all could go on all night just talking about the cover itself. But I digress. So, listen, listen, the audience that's been listening, they know I'm not quite right sometimes. I say whatever. But this is why it's Fly Conversation. We go whichever way we want to go and say what we want to say.
Exactly.
And it is what it is. You know, it is what it is.
It is.
So now tell the people what is in the pages that let me start here. Tell the people what the book is about. And then I want you to tell them in the pages what was the most profound piece that you had to put together. Like, what was the one story that might have taken you the longest to pour out onto those pages?
My goodness. That's meaty right there. That's meaty right there. So becoming a warrior is in the title itself, how I became a warrior in Christ. I literally, when most people do a autobiography or someone has done a biography about someone, you know, they don't give their life in its entirety, which, you know, it's virtually impossible, really. But
right.
I knew that I wanted to start from a young age and then work up to where I currently was, which was 22 years old. So I asked God to give me a playbook to how I could write from birth to 22 years old without it being an encyclopedia, but still getting all of the meat that needed to be in there. And that's what he did. He had me start from birth because my life has always been challenging. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I had it the hardest, and I'm not saying that I had it the easiest. I know we've all had our battles. However, you know, my struggle is my struggle, and I know that there's someone out there going through a similar or same struggle, and my testimony will help them. So it literally talks about how from birth I felt neglected, and not by my parents per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom and dad always tried to make sure that we had what we needed, not always what we wanted, because we just couldn't afford it. You know, we weren't born with silver spoons in our mouths. So, you know, childhood was hard. I got bullied so much in school, and for why, I don't know. You know, I didn't have the latest fashions. You know, my hair wasn't always the best. And, you know, to from what kids would say, I wasn't the most attractive. But not everybody is attractive to everybody, and we're kids. We have no business with that mindset, like, oh, you're ugly, or, you know, whatever the derogatory remarks are that one wants to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I've dealt with that from childhood, and I know there's a bunch of children dealing with that now. And
absolutely.
You know, unfortunately, and it's coming full circle out in the media and all over the place. And we definitely gotta pray for, you know, the youth these days. My mom and my dad, they lost their first daughter that my mom was pregnant with before me or my brother was born. So, you know, it's always been like my dad had this little resentment towards me because I was his daughter, and his first daughter was not here. She was not able to be here with us today. So, and my dad knows that I feel about how I feel about this, and he knows that it's in my book at this point. So, you know, I've always felt that way. It was like I always was an afterthought of some sort. So it talks about my daddy issues. You know, it talks about how that shaped my relationship when I grew older and got in high school with a person that, you know, I'm sure will come up as we talk about relationships on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally peeling back the layers of bullying and abuse and my suicidal thoughts that I went through. A lot of people don't know that I tried to commit suicide twice in my life. One just so recently as 2016, and a lot of people don't know that. And this was after I was back in church. So it's literally peeling back the layers of my life and how I've managed to come through that and be the woman that I am today, because no one looking at me or talking to me they always say, oh, my God, you don't look like what you've been through. And I really don't. I don't look like what I've been through, the fighting that I used to do, the bullying that I used to do myself from being bullied, you know, the challenges that I went through with lying and stealing and cussing people out and, you know, just being a hoodlum and causing ruckus and throughout other people's lives and being kicked out of school, you know. I don't look like I've been through that because here I am, saved and sanctified and praying for folk. And, you know, so it's literally like an onion. I'm just peeling back the layers of my life. And, you know, eventually once you get to the core of who I really am, I've always been this person. I just let difficulties and challenges shield me to become this enraged, mean, you know, just one that sows discord amongst brethren, and it's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. So that's what becoming a warrior is about, and circling back to living for God and, you know, bringing other people out. It's quite amazing. Quite amazing.
Awesome.
Now,
and that's really, and just to add to that, and that's really what it's about, though, is using what you've got to help somebody else get past theirs. So that's really what it's all about. So it is absolutely a wonderful thing.
Definitely. And, you know, out of all of that, it can be so challenging to figure out which part was harder for me to write or longest for me to write. But unequivocally, I can say that it was, you know, the turmoil with my dad and I. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, girls, young girls, even older women, the way they view their father, it takes a toll on the way they view their husband or someone that they're with. And that's not to take away from what men and their father issues or men with their mother issues or girls with their mother issues. That's not to take away from any of those. But we can't shy away from the fact that a father's role in his daughter's life, it holds such value. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
I mean, a woman looks at her, a girl looks at her dad as her Prince Charming, as her knight in shining armor, as her king, you know, second to God, of course, if they're old enough to understand who he is in their life. But that's who they look up to. And when that's being tampered with and messed with, it shapes how you view every relationship in your life. I mean, it's crazy. Even when you've accepted the fact that, okay, my dad and I don't know who he is, or we don't have a great relationship, or what have you, even when you feel like you've moved past it, it's crazy how you still attract men who are just like him. And you don't understand, okay, why can't I find the right man? And it's like when you really think about it, it's because there's discord with your father still. Now, that's not to say, like, okay, for with me, I've accepted the fact that my dad and I, we don't have the best relationship. I still love him.
Right.
I still honor him. As the Bible tells me to honor your father and your mother and your days will be prolonged. I still honor my dad. I call him on his birthday. I call him on Father's Day. I still let him know, you know, Dad, I love you and I'm there for you. And I told him, this was actually on Father's Day. I told him, I said, you know, Dad, he said to me, I don't want you to feel like I don't love you. And I had to be very transparent. I said, Dad, it's not that I don't know that you don't love me. It's just you didn't know how to love me. And that was a very transparent moment for me.
Wow.
We can't be mad at our dads for not knowing how to love us. We can't be mad at that, especially if they didn't feel loved in their own relationships with their parents. You know what I mean? So we have to look at that, and it takes a lot of growth and strength to look at your relationship with your dad and say, okay, I know my dad didn't have it all right, and I know that he didn't know how to do it, and maybe it's because he didn't get that growing up either. So we have to look at that. So that was the hardest part in the book that I had to write because it opened up so many wounds that I didn't know that I still had at that time.
Wow.
Quite crazy.
Now that is that's very, very, very interesting. And it's weird, too, because on the last show, we did discuss about Father's Day and, you know, women allowing men to have that day and how much of an effect a father has on their children. And then to hear you say that, you know, I mean, and it's so true that certain things that a father, that only a father presents to a child as they're growing up, that does affect their future relationships with other people and things of that nature. And, you know, whether it be good or bad, it's necessary to some degree because, just, you know, it's just like the mother. There are certain things only we can instill or only we can do on that end that's gonna cause our child to be affected or affects our child's relationships as well. And like I said, so to hear you talk about your father and to know that, you know, to some degree that it has a heavy effect on, or rather had, I'm not sure if it still does or not, but, you know, a heavy, how much it weight, the weight it holds, I guess is what I'm looking for, the weight that it holds, you know, that relationship with your father holds on relationships. So having said that, though, let me ask this, that relationship with your father, and I love the fact that you said you can't blame him for not knowing how to love, because that is very deep. And I'll say this, especially in the Black community, that is a serious topic that nobody really wants to address, of how hard it is, even from our grandparents, our great-grandparents, how hard it was and is for them to simply even say, I love you. It's hard for them. They, you know, that was something that was difficult for them to say. They always want to teach survival, but they never got the love, so they don't know how to pass it down. That's good. So now having dealt with that, how did that affect your relationships and how you dealt with relationships?
It had a very big impact, and I'll say this because you touched on it, and that was awesome. Growing up, our household, it was my mom, my dad, myself, and my brother. We never said I love you to each other, and it wasn't that we didn't love each other. We just never said it. And I've never had a real, real serious relationship up until my last relationship, which I entered at 16. I was in the 10th grade. He was a year younger than me, and he was in a grade lower than me. And that was my first real relationship that I had been in, and it was for 6 long years. And, you know, when you're in high school, You think you know everything about dating until you get out here in the real world outside of high school and you start dating people. And, you know, my ex, he was my fiance. We were engaged. And he didn't have a great relationship with his father either. His real dad, he did not have a great relationship with him. But his stepdad stepped up and he had an amazing relationship with him. And at first, our relationship, it seemed like it was good. It seemed like, you know, we were on the right track and we were like, you know, in the butterfly stage, we're going to be together forever. And we just thought it was amazing and wonderful. And being around his family, I was around his family more than I was around my family because, you know, my family and we argued all the time. And it was peaceful being around his family. And, you know, I noticed that they said, I love you to each other all the time. And I was like, man, that's really good. So I started saying, I love you to my family more. And that's how we started to say, I love you in our household. But what's interesting is the church that I currently attend, shout out to Heritage Christian Center, he brought me to that church, right? And he brought me to that church. And I started to get close to God and, you know, I started to hear God's voice. He started bringing me to that church a year after we dated. And what's interesting is God told me that he wasn't meant to be my husband. And I've always, now, though I was young,
I've always had the perspective of I'm never going to date just to date. I always date with the possibility of one day marrying this person. I had that mindset even in high school at 16 years old. I've always had that mindset because I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want you wasting your time. And I don't want to be
right.
running through different people, you know, throughout my life or whatever. So, and I've always had trust issues, you know, with the life that I've had. So, you
uh-huh.
know, in us dating, God always knew I dated to marry one day. And he told me that that wasn't my husband. And I broke up with him. And three
uh-huh.
days later, went right back. And, you know, that's the thing about not, I went back not listening to the Lord after
wow.
I done did what he told me I was going to do, and I went back, and it really
okay.
shifted our relationship, and throughout the problems that we had, I didn't have my dad to turn to. Like, some stuff when you're going through with your significant other, whether it's your boyfriend, your husband, you need or you desire another man to talk to, not you know, that in that manner, you know, I wouldn't advise anybody who's married or talking to someone to go to another dude in that manner to try to get relationship counsel. But like a dad or a brother or uncle, you know, I needed my dad. Like, Dad, what is a guy's perspective? What am I doing wrong? What should I have said? What can I do?
Right.
I didn't have
right.
that. I didn't have my dad for that. So because I didn't have my dad for that, I didn't have anyone to turn to, and I kind of just handled it on my own. I had my friends, but what are your friends going to do? They're going to tell you to leave, or you don't have to deal with that if you don't have the right friends anyways. They're going to tell you to leave, and, you know, girl, you don't got to put up with that, and he this, he that, you know, sowing
right.
negative seeds in your relationship. So because I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, I didn't know what a toxic relationship looked like. Not knowing that you're low-key manipulating me into having sex and to doing different things and trying to make me feel bad for not wanting to sleep with you. I don't realize that this is toxic for me.
Right.
But my dad,
right.
if I go to my dad and tell him that, he's going to be like, what? He don't need to want your body right now. He's not your husband. Why is he trying to take it there with you? Y'all too young for
right.
that. What if you get pregnant? What if you get a disease? Da, 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 da. You know, I don't have my dad for that. I never had the birds and the bees talk, ever. Ever.
Wow.
With my mom or my dad. Never had that talk. Didn't even know what that was. So it really shaped that I just need to handle it how I'm going to handle it in my relationship. So then when it got to, okay, you're being verbally abusive to me, you're telling me, I've never been the girly girl type. I am now, but I wasn't then. I used to dress very boyish, athletic, and, you
uh-huh.
know, 1 year I decided I wanted to dress up and be bougie.
Right.
And you're telling me because I'm dressing up like a girl, you're telling me, oh, well, dudes are looking at you thinking you're a hoe. How?
What?
How? Yeah. It was, you ruined my birthday by telling me that because I wanted to put a dress on, it wasn't even a revealing dress, mind you, that because guys are looking at me because I look pretty, you're telling me, oh, they're only looking at you because you look like a hoe. What?
Wow.
That's deceptive, and that's not nice for you to say to a person.
Wow.
Especially someone that you're dating.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know how a man is supposed to treat a woman and what to look for, because my dad wasn't there to show me how a man should treat a woman. You know what I mean? So it really just hindered me having an open eye to seeing that this relationship is not good for me. And even when you got physically abusive, now let me just say, abuse can come in multiple different facets. It could be emotional.
Okay, now,
it can be verbal, mental, and
break
physical.
It on down.
It doesn't have to, they don't have to punch you in the face for you to know that you're being abused. He's calling you fat. He's calling you names. He's talking down to you, and he's emotionally, he's cheating on you, putting you through emotional abuse and stress. Like, all of that is forms of abuse, and if it's happening, you need to go. You do not need to stay in that toxic nonsense. So a lot of the abuse that I went through was emotional, mental, and verbal. He put his hands on me twice now.
Wow.
And it wasn't okay either time. The first time he did it, we were having an argument, and you headbutted me. And
oh, my God.
I let it slide. Yeah, he ocho cinco'd me, girl. And
just,
you know,
wait
I
a minute, time out. Really did?
I did.
Oh,
I said
ocho
it, girl.
Cinco.
I said
yeah,
it. He ocho cinco me, girl. And, you know, though it's not a funny situation, I have to make light of it in order to keep myself from the enemy, in order to keep the enemy from trying to use that against me now.
Right, absolutely.
Because he tries to use it against me. And he's like, you know, no man is going to want you. And you saw how that one put his hands on you. And he tries to use it against me. And it's like, you're not going to use this against me. Like, I know I'm well worthy of having a good
absolutely.
Man in my life. So
come on.
You can take that somewhere else, okay? And I let it slide. Like, I still stay like a big dummy. And I always said, if a man ever puts his hand on me, I'm out the door. I always said that. And then when it happened to me, it's like, man, I see what other girls go through. I see why it's hard for them to leave. You know, I love this man or this boy. He's a boy. I love this boy. I've spent so much of my life with him. I don't want to be without him. You know, I'm just going to let it go. He didn't mean it. No, he meant it. He meant it.
Oh, yeah.
He's full-blown meant it.
Yeah.
And he's going to do it again. And one night, I went over to his house. It was actually a morning, but it was early morning because I was going out of town. Went over to his place of residence and found him in bed with another girl. And
you
protected her. You protected her. Now, let me just say this to all the women who's listening. Your man is who owes you loyalty, trust, and honesty, not the other woman. Whether she
Come
knew
on.
About you or didn't know about you, he opened that door for her to disrespect you. But she doesn't owe you respect. She doesn't owe you respect at the end of the day. So my perspective was, okay, I don't need to take this up with her. I need to take it up with you because I put my trust in you. I am in a relationship with you. Why are you
Absolutely.
Violating? So I told her to leave. I'm like, you need to leave. And she
right.
laughed in my face. She laughed in my face, girl. She laughed at me.
Wow.
I started to see black. And at this point, okay, now I do want to put my hands on you. I want to put my hands
right.
on you. And I'm about to put my hands on you. But before I could get to you to put my hands on you, you grabbed me and throw me into a wall.
Oh.
I'm like, what? Yeah. You grabbed me. You threw me into a wall. And you told her to leave. Like, you're like, get out, get out. You're calling her name. I don't remember what her name was, but it's irrelevant. And you're like, get out,
right.
get out, leave, leave. And she gets up and leaves. Now, let me say this, too. Any woman who will sit and watch a man put his hands on another
Come on,
woman,
please say that. Please
it says
say
a
it.
Lot about her, too. Because
oh, yeah.
if me being a woman, if you're about to fight me, regardless of what we've done, if I see him put his hands on you, okay, wait a minute. Now I understand that this is a messy situation right now, and I understand that she wants to put her hands on me. But you're not going to put your hands on her. You don't do that
right.
at all.
Right.
That's my perspective.
Absolutely, because if I'm going to sit and watch him put his hands on you, I can only expect that he'll do the same thing to me.
Exactly.
And he needs to know one way or the other, it's not
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. And you left, and we fought. You're throwing me in closets. You're breaking doors. You're choking me out. You got me on the floor, literally pinned on the floor. Now, I've fought dudes before. In my past life, I have fought dudes before. You know, I do not condone it, but it was what it was. And, you know, we going at it. You got me pinned on the floor, and you're choking me out. I remember it like it was yesterday. You're choking me out. And I'm like, get off of me, get off of me. I said, let me go. And you said, yeah, I'm going to let you go all right while continuing to choke me. I full-blown believe, for one, you fought me for her, and for two, you were trying to take my life that night. Nothing can convince me otherwise.
Wow.
And I finally got up. I got out, fought back. It was a struggle, but I got out, and I got in my car, and he jumped the fence and jumped through my window trying to get in my car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm driving off. He finally lets go. And, you know, me being me, my first instinct wasn't to call the police. It was to call my mom. And my mom knew where he stayed. So I called my mom. My mom called my dad. My dad called my brother. And next thing I know, everybody pulled up at the house. And then, you know, it's an all-out brawl between him, my dad, and my brother. And it went totally far. Yeah, it went totally left. And then, of course, we called the police, and the police showed up. And, you know, that was that. But it should have never gotten there. Should have never gotten there.
Wow.
I'm not saying it was right. I'm not saying that I'm okay that it happened. I wish that after I saw him with her, that I would have just turned around and walked away. But though my dad was there for me then, if I would have had a relationship with my dad and he was there for me throughout all of this, it probably would have never even got here. You know what I mean? So, and looking back at it, you know, though my dad has never put his hands on my mom, they still both have characteristics of each other. You know, I see they still have that strength. Like, they both lie. And my dad knows I feel this way. It ain't like I'm saying a secret. It's all in my book. My dad and him, they both lie. They both cheat. They both do whatever they got to do, you know, to make it where their woman stays, but you're manipulative, you know, that both of them. And my dad has this way of he always says, I think it's Newton's law, you know, every action has a reaction.
Right.
He uses it in every excuse. And I'd be like, you know, yeah, every action has a reaction. But with my dad, he says that, but then when you give a reaction to his actions, he thinks that you're wrong. That's manipulation. And
yes,
he did the same thing, you know? And my ex-fiance did the exact same thing. So you both have a strand of DNA that you share. And since then, you know, we've been separated for 3 years. I broke off the engagement after that night. We were only engaged for a week when this took place, by the way. Crazy.
And how old were you?
I was 21. I was 21 at this time. And it was absolutely the worst. It was the worst feeling ever. I felt worthless. I felt like I just needed to be under a rock and just die. Like it brought back so many memories of my self-worth and how I just didn't feel like I was worthy of living, and I didn't feel appreciated. I felt like I would be better off not on this earth, and that I should just do everyone a favor and just be gone. It sparked a bunch of suicidal thoughts. It sparked me not going to church consistently. I wanted to literally hide my face. Like, I still have scars from, he broke a blood vessel in my eye, and I still have the scar on my eye. Like, you can see it. If you look at me, you can see it on my eye. And, you know, people don't say anything about it. Like, no one knows what it is. But when you hear my story and then you look at my eye and you see it, they're like, oh, okay. Like, it's there. Like, it's there.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, initially before reading, I just thought, I was like, oh, okay. She was in somebody gang. Okay. That was my thought. Listen, y'all know I'm not rap type, but that was just my, okay, she's somebody gang, baby. Okay, I see you. That was just my thought.
That's hilarious. You know, I was rolling with the gangbangers, you know. But what's interesting is the scar that you see on my face on the cover of the book, that's mm-hmm. not a real scar. I create, okay. That's a fake scar to show my battle wounds. But I don't think, the way that I'm facing, I don't think you could see the actual scar on my eye because I'm facing a certain way. But trust me, girl, if you focus on my eyes when you see me, you're going to be like, oh, I see it, girl. Okay. Like, but, you know, I constantly, even now when I'm dealing with guys, if I see an ounce of that strand, I immediately push myself away. Like, oh, no, they is not the man for me. Nope. Steering clear. If they drink, look, no tea, no shade to anybody who does what they do out here in these streets. But if you drink, I can't be with you because he drank and he was drunk. Mm. A lot of the two times that he put his hands on me, he had liquor in his system. And so even if you know how to handle your liquor, I don't know if one day you're going to have a night where you just feel like drinking a little heavier than normal. So if you drink, we can't talk. If you lie about little stuff, we can't talk. Because if you lie about little stuff, you lie about big stuff.
You lie about everything.
So, listen, like, it's ridiculous. But I feel like if I would have had a good relationship with my dad, I would have seen all of these signs in the beginning and would have been able to steer clear.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That is, that's just wow. And it's so weird that, you know, one thing my mother always told me, when you're dealing with somebody, check their background, talk to their family, see what, you pay attention to those things, because those things are not just, oh, well, their family a little crazy, but they're not crazy. Really? Did you think so? Pay attention to that. And even in just that, looking at, and I love how you even make the correlation of some of the toxic behaviors you saw in your father. You saw those same mm-hmm. toxic behaviors in this man. And at 21 is such a young age too, to be engaged to this kind of behavior, to this, you know, this kind of and I don't want to make it sound like he's a bad person. But because, you know, people, I don't know, you know, and I don't want anybody, you know, all the bad people, but to be engaged to that kind of person that clearly felt and believed within themselves that was okay, you know, that was life. Oh, no, this is just, and for them, who knows what their background looks like, it might have felt like this is normal to do this. Oh, I've seen, you know, my father choke my mama out, or I've seen my mother's boyfriends choke her out. This is just normal. This is what a man is supposed to do.
It's a generational thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's actually kind of, honestly, especially in 2009, when you think about, I mean, excuse me, 2019, I'm going way back, honey. But when you think about
so
it.
So bad right now.
Okay. When you think about it, like, right now, it's scary. It really is. It's scary for so many reasons, which is why I personally believe that a lot of these young women need to get your book in their hands. They need to have this book, because, honey, it's not right. It's not normal to be in this kind of environment. And at the same time, somebody needs to be able to tell them, because for a fact we know the people around you are not going to tell you, well, honey, you see all mm-hmm. of these behaviors and attributes in your dad. Pay attention, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to attract somebody at least once in your life that's going to be just that same person that raised you, that same one that you have the issue with.
Yep.
Somebody needs
That's
to be able
true.
To say those things to them, you know? And your book absolutely
yeah.
says that. Hey, pay attention. Open your eyes. You know, they always say, oh, girl, say, I want a man like my father. And even if we don't say it, somewhere along the line, we come across one that's just like our father.
You listen, now you talking, and something that you definitely pointed out when you said that, you know, someone needs to be able to say, look, these are the signs. You know, we as women, we also have to be open to getting that, especially from our girlfriends. Like, some of us have some really good friends out here who are willing to say, yo, sis, do you see what's happening? Do you see what's going on? But then we as women, we're like, oh, well, don't be telling me about my man. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, I ain't trying to tell you about your man, but I'm genuinely concerned about you, and I really don't want you to get hurt. And it's like, yeah, but you don't know him like I know you. So we as women, we also have to be willing to open our hearts and open our minds that sometimes our girlfriends aren't trying to get at our man. They're not trying to,
right.
you know, throw themselves at them or, you know, get you to break up with him so that they can be with him. No, we really genuinely, I care about your health. I care about your well-being. And I want you to know that these are some things that maybe you should just be more in tune with. I'm not saying that he's a bad guy. I'm not saying that you're not meant to be with him. But what I am saying is you really need to evaluate your relationship, that the signs that he's doing and the things that he's doing are not healthy. So it's a really complicated situation because we as women, you know, we want women to tell us, you know, if our man is doing wrong, but then again, we don't want it. And it's like,
for sure.
okay, well, women, what do you want? You know, so we as women really have to have an open mind as well. And it's crazy because I often find myself sometimes dealing with women in a conundrum like, well, sis, like you said, do you see what's going on right here? Like, I really want to submit A, B, and C to you, but then it's like, okay, I know you don't want to receive this, and you think that I'm trying to throw shade at your relationship, and it's not even that. So we as women have to just figure out what it is that we want and stop being so close-minded that, you know, women trying to check us, you know.
Absolutely, but and even in that, I think we need – in that sense, we need to pretty much understand what real friendship is. A real friend is not the one that's going to pacify you and make everything you do sound and look good. That real friend is going to upset you. They're going to check you. They're going to help keep you accountable and keep you focused on what needs to happen. Case in point, I had a conversation with my sister the other day. And she called and, you know, she's telling me about some stuff going on with her and her guy. And I'm, as I'm listening to it, I'm listening to it. And I'm like, shut up. And she's like, wait, what? And I'm like, if you don't shut up, that man is doing this, 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 and this. And really, and this is what you want to say? Do you know how many women want a man? If you don't shut up and stop it, when the man does something for you, say, baby, thank you. I appreciate it. And keep it going. And she later
yes,
came back.
Yes,
but and now, initially, I know she was taken aback like this, Tesla. Just told me to shut up. Like I wasn't even just sitting to her. Like, she for real got an attitude with me. But she came back later and was like, you know what, you right. You was right. And, you know, I had to explain to her, like, look at the stuff that I've gone through in relationships. Honey, come on. And all he's asking you to do is to let him help you. I get it.
Yes.
You know, we independent. We've done it ourselves for so long. We don't know how to accept the help. It feels foreign. But, baby, listen to me. Shut up and let the man help, okay?
Yes, girl. Let him help you, girl. Let him help you.
Okay. But
let him help you, girl.
Let him help you, okay? These are the things as friends, like that's real friendship, though. That's real connection because I don't want anybody to be passive and soft with me. Tell me when I'm wrong. So if I see you my homegirl and I see you in a situation with a dude that just ain't going to go right and I'm worried for you, I'm going to speak on that. So that's the disclaimer for anybody that say they my girl. Listen, and I expect the same back. If I see something that's coming your way or something, whether it's a relationship, business, whatever, and it don't feel right in my spirit for you, listen, homegirl, hold on, let's go talk. You're probably not going to like me
right.
for the next 2 days after this, but it'll be all right because at the end you know it's coming from a good place. It's not about wanting your man. It's about, you know, I've been there, done that. You know, in your case, you can say I've been there, done that, and wrote a book about it. Read
yes,
this chapter, this
literally.
Page right here. I promise you, I'm telling you, this what I'm saying to you is only because I love you and I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to have to deal with what I wrote in that part of the book right there.
Right.
So, yeah,
because
evaluate your
friend.
It may
not be the same outcome.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hmm.
And experience
That's
doesn't
good.
Have to be the best teacher. It could be the next
Come
teacher.
On.
Just listen to somebody else, because if they went through it, they can tell you, honey, listen, pay attention to these signs. You know, at the
mm-hmm.
first time of this, you know, if he try to ocho cinco you, which that's not a that is not a phrase from Fly Conversations. I just want to put that out there. But if he tries to do that,
not.
Baby, please walk away. Please walk away because
yeah.
it doesn't get better from there. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't he just got really upset. No, no excuse. Walk away. You know, and honestly, I'm thinking to myself.
Excuses.
Right, and I'm thinking to myself, a couple of young ladies I know that I work with that I think I'm gonna look into to see. I don't want anybody to feel offended, but I want to gift them the book because, you know, they're young and they think the world is just you know whatever, and they're all doing crazy things. And baby, listen, slow down, because I promise you that this guy right here, you know, matter of fact, it's one particular that this story just now it's almost. A mirror to it, almost
yeah.
a mirror. Now he was beating her up, taking her money, all other kinds of stuff, and you claim you broke up with that dude, but now you're engaged to him. And it's
yep.
like, Lord, why?
Yep.
Why? Like, you know, and the more I talk to you, the worse you seem to get, the closer you sit, and it's like, I'm just trying to help. You told me about it, asked my opinion, but you don't really want it. So
yeah.
I would love, you know, to give this to her.
That would be absolutely amazing. I believe all women should read it because it speaks volumes on a bunch of different transitions in life. When my mom read my book, she was like, she came in my room and she just looked at me and I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, why didn't you tell me you ever tried to commit suicide? And at that, you did try twice. So my mom, for her to read that, it hurt her because it was like, you didn't feel comfortable enough to tell me how you felt and to tell me what was going on. One of the instances when I tried to commit suicide, I was actually at an old friend of mine's house. And when she read it, she called me and she was like, oh, my God. She was crying. And she was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know that you were dealing with that. I feel like such a terrible friend. And I was like, no, don't feel like that. It wasn't your fault. It had nothing to do with you at the end of the day. Yes, I shouldn't have did it the way that I did it, and yes, I should have confided in someone. But when you're going through a serious state of depression, confiding in others isn't always easy. And it's not
right.
always, especially when people are telling you, oh, you'll get over it, you're too young to deal with this. I've had so many old people or older people tell me I'm too young to have went through anything when they look at me, not knowing that, okay, I didn't know, first of all, that you had an age when problems start, first of all. But two, how can you discredit and discount what I've been through if you've never walked in my shoes? So we have to be open to receive from our friends. And they come to us, yes, girl, I know you may go back to him, girl. I understand, but I'm telling you right now, I want you to be able to talk to me when things are going on. Yes, there's a line between getting frustrated when you don't want to listen and, you know, making sure that you're still open ear, because they could be manipulating them to where, you know, what anybody else is saying. That's one sign of abuse as well. If you're not listening to anyone else around you but your man, you know, okay, there's a problem because he is clouding everything around you. He's making you think we don't love you and that we're jealous and that we don't have your best interest at heart, and that's not true. He is manipulating you, and I need for you to see it. So even when your friend does come to you with issues, it's like, okay, Lord, give me the heart, give me the mind to be able to receive what she's saying. Give me the words and the wisdom to be able to articulate the right words back to her to where I don't push
right.
her away, but to where she still knows that there's an open door there for her to be able to come to me, because one day she's going to need me. She's going to really, really need me, and I don't want to have to say, I told you so. I told you so. I hate when people say that. It's the last thing. It's not even something that needs to be in your vocabulary when it comes to things like this, because it's like, okay, I don't need you to slap me in the face right now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree with that.
I mean, for the fellas that's listening, you know, they get abused too. So,
yes, they
you know,
do.
Let's
now,
not.
Please say that.
Let's not, you know, let's not discount what they're going through either. If a man is saying he don't feel safe, we got to take that to heart. Like, okay, he don't feel safe, because some of us women is crazy.
God knows that's the truth. God knows. Listen, I've seen it firsthand. Like, Lord, like, what is wrong? And then I get mad at him, like, why you ain't call the po-po on her? But
right,
that's
like, they're not
going to
believe me. Right.
I just want her to go home. No, I want to put my hands on her is what I want.
Right.
But what needs to happen is she needs to have the same ramifications you would have had it been the other way. But
you better preach on him.
I digress, because, you know, that's a whole other conversation we might have to come back around to abuse done on either side. Because, baby, let me tell you something. Here's the thing. See, this is what I mean by fly conversations. We can go off on any kind of tangent. I have a problem with women always wanting to be a victim. We are not always the victim. And we need some of these women just play this game of the whole victim mentality every time you turn around. Oh, well, because I'm the victim. No, you're not. You're playing a game. And you're trying to play that this whole weaker vessel thing to make it work for you. Meanwhile, we all know that you were mentally and physically abusing that man over there. Because you know he won't hit you back. You know he won't.
Exactly. And no one will probably believe him.
Yes.
So let me also put this out there to the women, because I do want them to know I told both sides. In my book. Now, yes, it's from my perspective. However, I didn't sugarcoat when I was wrong in situations. Was I very provoking sometimes? Yes. Did I have a smart mouth? Yes. Were there certain things that I did that I should not have done? Yes. I did not make it sound like when you read it, anyone who reads it, I didn't make it sound like I was completely innocent, because I wasn't. He wasn't in a relationship by himself. I wasn't in a relationship by himself. And you have to, if you're going to tell the truth about something, or if you're going to tell your side of the story, don't omit facts to make yourself seem like it was all on the other person, because that's not fair either. I definitely was open completely about things that went on in our relationship. Did I ask for permission? Absolutely not. Why? Because it's my story. I didn't use his real name, so it really don't matter. But, you know,
right.
I want people to know that if you're going to tell the truth, tell the whole truth, not just half the truth, and that truth be your truth, where you're omitting information, because that's manipulative too.
Bam.
Yeah.
So let's make sure we tell it all on every side of what's happening.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's not all be innocent, because everybody's not innocent and everybody's not guilty. So absolutely.
Exactly.
So.
And that's crazy, because he still be trying to get with me.
What?
He's still trying to get with me. Yeah, this fly conversations came at the right time, because baby been blowing me up like nobody business, okay, after 3 years. But you know what? As women, or anyone, as a person getting abused, you can't go back to your abuser after
you left. Absolutely.
You can't go back. My God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing about it, and I'm going to say this and we're going to move on because I'm being real petty right here. Moth is always attracted to the light, baby. When they see that glow, they coming. Get somewhere and sit down because I put that glow on my face myself. You had nothing to do with that, and you're not going to come over here and dim my shine.
Preach. It'll preach if you let it, ladies. It'll preach if you let it.
I'm through right there. I'm through. That's all I got to say on that. I'm a digress from that because of I know that feeling. I know that feeling. Everybody out of nowhere, all of a sudden, where y'all come from? Oh, because y'all thought I was going to fall and die without you, huh? That ain't what happened over here, boo. I've risen and got grinding, and I'm on my own, on my business about what I got to do. I ain't think about you.
You preaching. You preaching.
Let's get on. Let me go on here because we got a little time left, but I want to go also let the people know not only is she an author and a speaker, yes, Miss Queen Denisha also has a blog called Quote. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Okay. So everybody calls it Quote, so I just let it go, but it's actually QX TV.
Oh, okay. QX. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can see why everybody says it's Quote. I can see why everybody calls it that. So I just be letting it go, but then when they ask, I'll be like, nope, it's Queen of a King Television, QAC TV.
Okay, QAC TV. I got it, Sam. I got it. So tell the people what are all kinds of little tips, because I know I've seen relationship stuff up there. I'm trying to remember the very first one I saw.
So, you know, QITV is about everything under the sun. And when I initially got the idea, because I've always loved YouTube. YouTube has always been a passion of mine, but I never used to like to be in front of the camera until recently. It was going to be mostly about religious topics, like, you know, sitting down with someone of another religion to talk about the misconceptions that people have of each religion that it is, or, you know, talking about cliches like you take one step, gotta take two, or, you know, people taking the scripture, love is the root of all evil, when money is the root of all evil. And that's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So really it was going to be talking all about different Christian or religion topics like that. But then I got the idea, why don't I just go all the way across the board? So, you know, I'm going to be doing beauty stuff on there. I'm going to be doing how-tos on there.
Awesome.
Like I did a how to deal with breakups on there. I did something. I think I did one about my ears. Yeah, because I'm stretching my ears. A lot of people, you know, are against it, but I'm doing it anyways. You know, so I have videos about that up. I'm going to be doing, you know, a braces video because I have braces, a tattoo video because I have tattoos. I'm going to be doing all types of videos. So I definitely, you know, like I say in my videos, hit that like button, click subscribe, and smash the notification bell so you never miss a video. Yes, I said it on every video, and I need everybody to, you know, just go on YouTube, on the YouTube, type in QAKTV, that's QOAKTV, and just hit that subscribe button, and, you know, hit that notification bell. Come support your girl, because, you know, I'm going to be talking about everything on there, all of it. I love it, all of it.
Oh, awesome. So, yes, I am subscribed. So, I believe I'm subscribed. Let me go back and make sure. But I believe I'm subscribed, so I'll be definitely looking out for that, looking out for them, absolutely. So, I noticed, I'm going to go ahead on and touch this. Let me touch this a little bit, that you have not too long ago started a health journey.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Yes. Let's talk. Yes. The new selfie. Think
that
it's the new sexy.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I love my curves. I love being voluptuous and all of that. But I just got to a point to where I got really unhealthy. And to some people, they'd be like, oh, girl, you wasn't that big. And to me, it's like, yes, I was. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have to live with it.
So I was tired of going shopping and, you know, things not being able to fit. And I was just tired of being so unhealthy and, you know, not eating right and just being sluggish when I wake up in the morning. I was like, okay, I've never been this big before. I've got to do something about it. So, you know, a friend of mine who's become like my sister, she wanted to go on the same journey as me. So we've been working out together. She had a gym membership, and she had it to where a guest could come with her. So I was like, well, you know, let's start going. Like, let's do this thing. So we started going to the gym. We started with Zumba and, you know, going walking on the treadmill, and we started eating better, you know, our fruits, our veggies, drinking more water. And we really just been on this journey together, and we've both been losing weight. And all of the times that I've ever tried to lose weight, I've never been super successful because I never held myself accountable. I just didn't want to do it. So, you know, I had to get me an accountability partner, and she needed the same thing. So we've been that to each other. It's like, I don't feel like going. Well, no, girl, we got to go today. You know, we're that for each other, and it's really been helping. So we go 3 times a week. We go do Zumba, or we'll just go, whether we're just walking for a little bit and doing some strength training, whatever the case, we do it, and we hold each other accountable. And we've been losing our weight, honey, and we've been looking good.
I've been seeing you pulling stuff on the Facebook. I was like, okay, I see it. Okay. So how much weight have you lost? How much weight have you lost?
So the last time I stepped on the scale, it's 30 pounds even. Praise them.
Yes.
And 5 inches off my waist, you know. I'm out here looking fine and stuff. Well, finer, so I've already been fine.
There it is. Say that correctly. But somebody out here ready for their two-piece for the summer, all 2019. Two-piece in the winter time.
Come on now. I'm definitely going to keep, you know, some of my hips and dips, but as long as I'm healthy and look the way I want to look, I'm happy with that.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Well, congratulations, ma'am. Congratulations. Kudos.
Thank you.
Keep it going. Keep it going, absolutely, because I tell you, that health journey, honestly, it is, I tell you, what I learned about it, it helps you to understand yourself in a whole different light. Because those days when you don't feel like it, or you want to stop in the middle of a threat, and in your mind, for me, I had to tell myself, if you stop here, this is what you do with everything else. You'll get to the middle of it, and because it's hard and because you have to push a little harder, you want to stop. So mentally, for me, then I say, I will never stop. And I got to kick it back into gear and keep going, keep going, keep going, give it all I've got until. You know, like today, I let my brother work me out today, and let's just say right now I don't like him, but it's good. Mm. You know, we did some legs today, leg day, and I think he tried to, I don't know, I feel like he had some anger or something with me with all the stuff he was having me do. That's what I feel.
He ain't never going to tell you. He ain't going to admit that.
I'm only saying he's going to tell me if it don't hurt you, ain't doing nothing. Okay.
Right. He's going to say, that's okay. I'm going to work you out in the gym. That's hilarious.
But you don't have to work me so to the point that when I stand up, and this is not for the churn, but when I stand up, I'm just going out and say it, when my right butt cheek is trembling like it's having a seizure, there's something wrong. I'm just saying it.
Yeah, it's getting worked out. That's what's wrong. It don't like it. It don't like it. But once you don't worry though, it's like, man, I'm glad I pushed through it. Especially it's like you get that little dessert or that little bit of starch or bread or whatever, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna just work this off, you know, extra hard in the gym, but I deserve this, so I'm gonna eat it.
It is amazing. And again, though, congratulations.
Thank you. You too, girl. I seen that picture I seen that picture you posted the other day. You looking all slender, and I was like, oh, who said I don't think she is?
You know, I ain't know about it. Just a little old me, just a little old me over here in my corner of the world. You know, trying to be healthy.
I said she can find her.
You're just trying to live. That's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to live our best life out here. And we need to be able to breathe to do the work that we have to do.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just saying.
Keep up with the people. Keep up with
the people. Because we can't be up there trying to run around to different engagements and doing all this, and you can't even walk from one end to the next end because you're out of breath. So I'm just saying. That's just my thought.
And that's what you've been thinking.
Yeah, that's
just
my thought.
Yeah. Congrats to you too, girl, because you look good.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So, listen, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. You hear me? I have enjoyed this conversation. So, let me tell the people how they can get this book. And like I said, I need y'all to get this book. I need y'all to get it. I need you all to not only just get it, but gift somebody that you know who's honestly y'all. And y'all know I try to stay away from the stuff that could possibly make me cry. But if you know somebody, seriously, that is facing a relationship that could possibly take them out or just really do some damage, y'all, please talk to your homegirl. Talk to them.
Yeah.
Talk to your homeboys. Talk to them, because there are men being driven crazy out here, being driven to death by women. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And it's really important that if you know them, gift them the book. Even if you don't want to have that conversation with yourself, maybe get the book for them and let them know, hey, this is something you really might want to read. So if you go on Amazon, I believe the book is available on Amazon. Yes, it is. I'm looking at it right here. It is available on Amazon. You can type in either Denisha L. Wooten, and it'll come up under her, or you can just type in Becoming a Warrior and by Denisha L. Wooten, and you can find it there. You can also go to Denisha's website directly. And that website address is www.wooten, which is her last name, wooten.org. So it's her last name, first initial, .org is her website. So you can definitely visit her there. And in visiting her website, I was surprised that she offers a plethora of services as well. She does what I'm going to just put it in my own terms now. I could be, you know, but... I guess ghostwriting. She also offers that. She does. Oh, see, okay. So I was thinking along those lines. See, she got it all, you know, prettified on her website. But I'm like, let me just cut to the chase for the people that don't know what content creators are and all of that and help you write ghostwriters. Okay, people, if you need a good ghostwriter, definitely look her up. I know you are also helping with people starting and doing 501c3 stuff, all that kind of stuff as well. So she does a lot of content. She does, like I said, speaker, consultant, writer, author, blogger. Check her out. Go to her website. Again, that's wooten.org, wooten.org. That's her last name, first initial, .org. So definitely check her out there. Like I said, the book is also on YouTube, Facebook. Well, you can follow her on Facebook at Denisha L. Wooten. You can type in her name and all of her personal page, her business page, all of that will come up. Amazon, like I said, for her book, Amazon Kindle is there as well. You can check out the iBooks store on iTunes, Apple, and go /book, and you can definitely find her book there. And to find her... YouTube channel. On YouTube, you can go to YouTube and put in QOK TV. Am I right? No, I'm wrong.
QOAK TV, and it'll pop right up.
Right. There you go. Yeah, QOAK TV. And it'll come right on up, and you'll be able to find her that way. So that's listen, guys, honestly, again, I'm telling y'all, go get that book. If you don't have it, get it. If you know somebody that needs
Get it.
It is definitely something you want to do. Go find her on YouTube and subscribe to her YouTube channel. Follow all things Denisha, all things Wootenism. Wootenism, that's a word, Wootenism. I thought that was cute. I like that.
Yes.
But follow all things Denisha Wooten, y'all. Facebook, Instagram, you know, YouTube. Go find her, follow her, support her. Push her, help keep her motivated, help keep her going. Because I will be honest with y'all, when you out here making your mark and doing things, baby, it ain't that. It's not easy. People get up here and post this stuff on Facebook and Instagram and make it look easy to be trying to do your own thing. It's not easy. It's not.
Yeah.
It is very taxing on your mind, on your spirit, especially when it's coming from your spirit and you're putting your heart into it. And Denisha is there definitely putting her heart into what she's doing. So support her.
Definitely.
Send her prayers, you know, love and light. Pass her name on to anybody that you might know, maybe looking for someone to come talk to, some young girls, some youth, some teen, whatever, because they need to be hearing it now, you know, about relationships and men and their father, if relationships, all that stuff. It needs to be discussed, and I think she would definitely be somebody you want on the platform for that. So.
Most definitely. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you so much for agreeing to be the last show of the season. This was an awesome show, awesome tips, awesome advice. I posted a couple of things on Facebook that I could word it correctly with some other stuff I was trying to get out, but I couldn't get it right. But thank you. But thank you. It's been such a pleasure. Is there anything that you would like to leave the people with, any last thought you want to leave the people with?
I mean, I definitely, first let me say thank you for giving me a platform to speak on. Fly Conversations is so amazing, and I definitely tell anybody to follow all things Sade as Shadon as well. You know, it's amazing to have a covenant relationship with a person who, you know, you
Absolutely.
Just love and adore. And I definitely consider you like my big sister. You're so amazing and so wonderful.
Oh.
And, you know, you've instilled so much in me, girl. Like that, let me not get all mushy on my phone.
my bottom lip just started trembling.
But no, seriously, like the things that I've been seeing you do and how you're working. I mean, your vocals are amazing. Your book is She's Fly. It's amazing. I mean, you got shirts out here. I haven't got me a shirt yet. Like I need me a She's Fly shirt. Like
I mean,
literally. Praise them, size medium, you know, yes.
I got a problem.
Appreciate it. I'm going to be looking forward to that, you know, but keep doing what you're doing. I mean, it's so absolutely amazing. You've had some awesome people on your show thus far, and, you know, each person has just poured their heart out and instilled so much wisdom. So what you're doing is absolutely amazing. You know, definitely I would encourage everybody who has listened to, you know, really just evaluate the people that are around them, the relationships that they're in, you know, the relationships that their friends or their loved ones are in. And, you know, definitely if you have daddy issues or parent issues to, you know, just look at it from their perspective that maybe they just did not know how to do it. Maybe it's worth a conversation. If you don't know them like that or you don't know them to have a conversation, you know, definitely take it to God in prayer and, you know, get your friends, your true friends involved, you know, to help you out of that situation. I definitely just encourage everyone to keep an open mind, keep an open heart, and definitely make sure that check on your people, check on your loved ones,
Absolutely.
Check on those around you. You know, if I could say anything in a nutshell, check on your people.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So that's some good advice there. Check on your people. Check on your people. Please check on your people.
Yes.
But after so all of that, everybody listen. Check. We're going to leave you with, again, check on your people. Go get this
mm-hmm.
book. Go gift this
yes.
book.
Yes.
And follow
go
all
get
things
it.
Denisha. Yes. Yes. Please go get that book. And like I said, follow all things Denisha. I guarantee you that's not going to be the last book. I guarantee you there's some more coming out before we know it.
Having said all of that, it's been an absolute ball tonight. I've learned a lot. I've enjoyed this conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. It's a very eye-opening conversation. But until next time, y'all, again, this is our last show until September. Take my break and get my stuff together, get some good people lined up here. We'll probably have Denisha back. Well, not probably. We will have Denisha back again. And listen, y'all, let me just go out with this. Fly Conversations. Fly stands for all the way around finally loving yourself. And loving yourself is not just a word, it's not just a simple act. I know June was supposed to be the month of self-love, and I have to say I didn't really get into it because for me, I'm not one to subscribe to saying, well, we're going to take this month of June to do practices, air quotes, of love, self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Self-love is a daily journey. Self-love is something you never outgrow, you'll never outdo, you'll never stop doing. So for a month, you just did some acts, but you did not actually do, you have not actually, a lot of people have not actually begun self-love journey. And for me, these past, honestly, I'll be honest with y'all, these past couple of months, weeks, I've been kind of in a silent place almost. I have a lot that I want to say, but I can't say. And I'm just in a silent mode doing a lot of self-evaluations, a lot of, peeling back that onion on myself, going deeper into things that I may have suppressed, things that I didn't realize were there, things that I was doing and really had no knowledge that I was doing them. And these are the things that self-love gets out. And so Fly Conversation is conversation that goes deep into actually let's talk about whatever it is. We talk about abortions. We talk about relationships. We talk about abuse. Mm-hmm. We talk about, our relationships with our parents. We talk to parents to get their take. These are things that everything that I've had touched on this platform since I started are things that I have encountered in some form or another. And I wanted to bring light to them because they were things that I had to grow from and grow through. And so understand, Fly Conversations, this is what we're about. We're not about sugarcoating it, holding back and making it sound cute or fancy because we want to be, we want to look right to the people or we want the people to hear us right. No, I want you to hear it raw. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear it real. I want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear my transparency. I want you to hear my truth. And the guests that come on, I want you to hear the same about them. I want you to hear their raw, their real, their truth, their transparency. So again, the only way any of us can grow is through those transparent moments where we take back our power of saying, if these people know this about me, they're going to judge me. But guess what? I told you, so do whatever you want to do with it.
Exactly.
I told it. Nobody else took the power to tell it. So I take my power and say, I've done it. So with Fly Conversations, that's what we're about around here. That's what we do. We open up. We talk.
Good.
We get to the group. We talk about what it is and let it be known because, for a fact, we are not the only ones that have dealt with and dealing with it. There are people out there that don't want to hear a sugar-coated version and say, well, you shouldn't do this, like in Denisha's situation. Nobody wanted to hear, you got to make, if they put their hands on you, want to do this. No. She flat out, no. When I told her to leave and she didn't, I wanted to put my hands on her. That's what we're about. That's real. Because somebody knows that feeling that she had at that exact moment. Somebody associates with that. So that's what Fly Conversations is about. So, like I said, this is our last episode until September. We start season two. And so I think season one has absolutely been a great season. Absolutely great season. I've had some awesome people on.
Yeah.
I've had some deep topics.
Definitely.
Some real topics. And next season, we're going to come back with some more. We, just real open talk, nothing sugar-coated, nothing cute or fancy. Just some real kitchen counter or sofa conversation with some of your best friends is all we wanted to make it about.
Yeah.
That's about it. So until September, y'all, until September,
as always, love yourself and mean it to the core. Love you and mean it when you love yourself. I love each and every one of y'all to life. Y'all enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your summer. I know the kids are summer, but some as parents, we still work. But find time to enjoy your children. Find time to enjoy yourself. Find time to love on yourself. I love, love, love y'all to life. Until next time, y'all, take it easy. Love you, mean it. Later.
Excitement.
Riveting. Love.
Forgiveness.
Shy.
Dawn.